Has there been a time this past week when you have struggled being patient with someone? A lot of people struggle with being patient. We preachers, pastors included. I heard a story about a pastor who was running late for an appointment, driving through town. He came upon a red light. He's parked behind a guy, and there's the red light. And it seems like it takes an eternity for the light to go green. Finally, the light goes green. But the car in front of him, that guy, was looking at his phone, wasn't paying attention to the red light. And by the time that guy looked up, it had gone from yellow to red again. So the pastor lowers his window. He's forgotten who he is. And sticks his head out the window and says, "Hey, guy! It's not going to get any greener." And he proceeds to tell him off quite properly. He's honking his horn. He's screaming out the window. He's clenching his fist, unaware that a police cruiser has just pulled up behind him and bearing witness to all this. So finally, the police turns the blue light on, gets out of his car, goes up, and said, "Sir, I need you to step out of the vehicle." The guy steps out. He cuffs him, puts him in the back seat of his cruiser, and takes him to the station. About an hour passes, and the police comes in and says, "Pastor, I'm so sorry. I apologize that I came up behind the car, and there was this bumper sticker that says, 'Honk if you love Jesus.' And the frame around the license plate had WWJD on there. There was a church logo on the rear windshield, and I saw a church parking pass hanging from the rearview mirror. And so I just know that that car had to have been stolen." You and I have probably had such occasions when we too have not represented the Lord very well because of our impatience. Today, it's my joy to share with you a message entitled, "The Beautiful Patience of God." It's such an awesome and incredible and beautiful thing when we really understand just how patient God is. And before we leave here today, I pray that your understanding and my understanding would be deepened, and that we'd have a greater appreciation for the long-suffering of God toward us, and that somehow the revelation of how patient He is with us would help us to become more patient with one another. There's a few scriptures we're going to look at. And first, would you drop by 2 Peter with me for a moment, chapter 3. Peter has just addressed these mockers. He says, people are mocking, saying, "You've said that Christ is coming back, but where is He?" Making fun of it, mocking. And then Peter reminds them, he says, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day." In other words, God's time, perspective of time and ours are two different things. He's a lot more patient than we are, for one thing. Then he says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise." That is the promise that Christ would return. "He is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us." Why is He long-suffering? "Not willing that any should perish." How many does He want to perish? He's not willing. It's not God's will for anyone to perish. But that, how many? All should come to repentance. So Peter is telling him, listen, the problem is not an integrity issue with God. He is a promise-keeping God. The reason Christ hasn't returned is because not only is He a promise-keeping God, but He is a patient God. He is long-suffering. Why? Because He doesn't want people to perish without Christ. He wants to give every opportunity to them to come to know how much He loves them, that He sent His Son, and what Jesus accomplished on the cross to save them. That's behind the patience of God, His great love for people. So we can draw a conclusion from this, and that is patience is God's mercy in slow motion. It really is. There is a great day coming, the culmination of the ages. There is end time wrath and judgment upon a rebellious world that awaits. There is a new heaven and a new earth that will happen in the future. None of that has happened yet. Why? Because God is patient. 1,000 days to Him's like a day, and a day's like 1,000 years. God's after souls. You can study from the book of Genesis through the entirety to the Bible to the end of the book of Revelation, and you'll find many times where God is described as being slow to anger, long-suffering, patient. As a matter of fact, if you in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word there for long-suffering, another translation is long-nosed. Long-nosed. What's that mean? It's this idea. Breathe in your nose before you respond. Just like if you're getting worked up about something and you're pausing, you're thinking, deliberating before you respond. God is patient. He is patient. Patience is God's mercy in slow motion because He wants to provide opportunities for people to come to know Him. And the church, the bride of Christ in the earth, we're the one who has the assignment to make sure people who have never heard about Him have the opportunity to do so. That's the reason these testimonies we just heard about the film going into the nations. It's the reason that we're involved in missionaries and different places. And there are still many millions of people who've never had a clear presentation of the good news of Jesus Christ. That's hard for us to believe here where we've heard it all our lives, but there are people who have yet to hear. So the church is on a mission to partner with Holy Spirit as God patiently waits. Isn't that what Jesus said? When this gospel of the kingdom is preached to all nations, and then the end will come? See, that's what God's up to. It's His mercy in slow motion. And if you have been saved, the majority of people here this morning, more than likely, you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You've been born again. You're saved. You have experienced this mercy of God. You've come to know Jesus. But the people who've never heard, they too are experienced this mercy. Or everything would be wound up and done with. But it's God's patience, His kindness, His love, and His mercy. His mercy in slow motion. That's His patience. Like a parent dealing with a child. And we understand that when you have little ones and they get to be about 2 years old and, you know, they learn that they don't always have to be compliant, and maybe they sweep the Cheerios off their high chair, or they throw their milk in the floor. Well, the parent doesn't, when that begins to happen, the parent doesn't say, okay, load him up, load her up, carry her back to the hospital, we don't want them anymore. That might flash through somebody's mind occasionally, but... But why? We want to pour into their lives, and we're patient. We realize it takes time, and their will has to be dealt with and so forth. Well, God, our Heavenly Father, He loves people in that way. And He's so very patient. And as we understand this and understand what the Bible teaches about it, it causes us to realize, hey, this is just God's mercy in slow motion. God's being merciful. He's waiting. He's wanting people to come to repentance. And for believers, He's so patient with. He's waiting, wanting us to continue to change. I preached this past Wednesday night about repentance, really, how beautiful repentance is. And we talked about that. God is wanting to bring us through change and transformation more into the likeness of Jesus Christ as believers. His patience is all on that too. He is so very patient and long-suffering and slow to anger. Now, there's another scripture that we want to look at in 1 Timothy. And because we see that Paul realizes how patient God had been with him, and he basically says, my life is an example of how patient God is. This is the way he says it. This is the faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy, that in me, first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. You know what Paul's saying there? He says, hey, I'm the billboard. I'm a billboard example of how patient God is. When you put his testimonies together through the Bible, things he shared about, I was a persecutor of Christians. I had them arrested. He held Peter's garments while Stephen's garments while Stephen was stoned to death, and he was all for it. He led it. He went from place to place looking for Christians to incarcerate them, and then some of them would be executed. Paul was behind that. Paul voted for that. Paul encouraged people to do that. And then one day on the Damascus Road, Jesus appeared to him, and he realized, oh my goodness, he is who he says he is. He hit the dirt. He got saved. And now his testimony is, he's telling Timothy, listen, I'm the billboard example of how patient God is. If he could save me, he's patient and kind to anyone, everyone, because I was killing Christians. Would you want to sit next to him in church? Well, he's our brother, right? Why? Because of the mercy of God. And by the way, don't get self-righteous thinking, well, he didn't have to forgive me a bunch of that stuff. The Bible's very clear. We don't need to play that comparing sin game. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All we, like sheep, have gone astray, each one to his own way. That's what the Bible says. There is none righteous, not even one. You and I are sinners separated from holy God, and that would never change apart from the grace of God manifested through the cross of Christ. Jesus suffered just as much to cleanse your sin as he did anyone else's sins. So we've all who are believers been the wonderful recipients of the grace and the mercy of God. Paul understood that. So this is what we can conclude from that scripture. God's patience with us should encourage our patience with others. Finish this for me. This is a saying. But by the grace of God, there go I. That's true. The heart is desperately wicked. Above all things, who can know it? We have to be remade into new creations to have relationship with God. Why? Because of our sin. When Adam sinned, Paul clearly lays this out in the book of Romans, chapter 4, 5, and 6. For by one man, sin entered into the world, and death upon all men. And Paul, he said, I'm chief of sinners. Now, he's not groveling like he's still just a no-good, rotten sinner. What he's saying is, listen, I'm the example. I'm the chief. I sinned worse than anybody, and yet God had mercy on me. It's an example to people of how kind and patient and merciful God is. So we don't need to become spiritually proud and self-righteous and look down our noses at people who don't yet know Christ, are believers that are still very immature in Christ. We have to be patient. Now, I had pastored for almost 15 years in Southern Baptist churches when I came into the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And when that happened for me, I was like, whoa, this is awesome, you know. And I'm like, wanted to tell people about it, like, oh, why would you not want this, you know. And I quickly found out not everybody was as excited about it as I was. And it became frustrating, like, hey, this is, you know, wow. One day the Lord spoke to me, and I remember it so clearly. He said, son, do you remember how long it took me to get you to the place where you would become open to the more I wanted to give you? And that, he tapped my brakes. He brought me in line, and I realized, okay, Lord, you are so right. You are so patient with me. And as a matter of fact, I can look back, and I'm grateful for my Baptist foundation. I really am. I'm grateful for the conservative theological training that I've gone through. I'm very grateful for that. God continues to use that, but I'm also grateful that he had mercy on me and worked in my life to where I took those additional steps. Now, no matter what you've experienced with the Lord, how many wonderful things you've seen, there's always more with him. So don't take that as like, well, better than anybody. No, it's just that this Christian adventure, it's a journey that's just filled with opportunities to learn more about who he is and more about how you need to change. The more we learn about him, then it's like, Paul, I'm chief of sinners. I think it's a wrong use of faith to think that you can't remember from which you came. I think we have to have a humility heart. If it wasn't for Jesus saving me and finding me, I probably wouldn't be alive right now. He's been so merciful to us. And many of you know that there's a number of you here this morning, you know you should be dead. Some of us have done stupid stuff. And it was only the grace and mercy of God where he intervened to protect us from ourselves when we didn't give a rip about protecting ourselves. That's mercy. That's God's patience. Being patient, waiting on you, working. There are others, you had hard hearts. Maybe you were embittered at God. You didn't want anything to do with Jesus and sure didn't want to darken the door of one of his churches. Some of you, most of us, we were a mess till we met Jesus and he created a miracle out of the mess. And here you are sitting here. You're a miracle. You shouldn't be here, but God was patient with you. We don't need to forget his patience lavished upon us and exhibit an impatience toward other people that's sinful and wrong. And yes, there's a place for correction. There's a place for speaking into people's lives. There's a place for helping. It's, you know, there's ways to do that with wisdom. But what I'm saying is we don't need to lose sight of what he's done for us and how patient he has been with us. Another scripture I want to share with you out of James chapter 1. Now, in the New Testament, there are two different Greek words that are employed that can be translated as patience, as endurance, as long-suffering. One is the word macrothumia, and it literally means that patience, that you're patient with people, you bear with people like God's patience. And then there's the monethume, which is an ability to endure even though there's great burdens and stress put upon you. In other words, to be able to hold up and patiently wait and go through something. And James speaks to this. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I mean, that one's hard to handle, isn't it? I mean, in the natural, like, that doesn't make sense. Like, I'm walking down the road and fall in a big pit and get all bruised up and say, yippee! You know, you'd be smoking something to act like that. No, that's not what James is saying. This is like a legal thing. Like, because of your trust in God and your knowledge of who he is, no matter what you face, no matter what you go through, you can count it joy that if you will trust Him, He will see you through that. You will be stronger and you'll be better as a result of it. And this doesn't mean that God causes it, but it does mean that God can use it. James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing, this is what we need to know, that the testing of your faith produces patience. How is patience produced? What has to be tested in order for your patience to be increased or produced? Your faith. Let me simplify that. Whatever you're going through, the Lord wants you to know that you can trust Him. And He wants you to grow to the point where you are trusting Him no matter what you go through. When you don't know what to do, you trust Him because you know He still does. When you're confused about what's going on, you trust Him. When nothing makes sense and when it's painful, you might have even suffered loss and you feel like your life's unraveled, you still trust Him. Classic example, Old Testament Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust Him. And James is saying that it's our faith, our trusting God, that's challenged by life's circumstances. The trying, the testing of your faith. Like Jesus told Peter, Satan desires to sift you like wheat, Peter, but I prayed for you that your faith does not fail. And when you are restored, you will strengthen your brother. Paraphrase that, Peter. You're about to go through something that the devil's behind, and you're not going to like it. And you're going to be tempted to not believe and not trust me. But I'm praying for you that you actually are going to be renewed and restored through what you're about to go through. And as a result of it, you're going to have a strength that you can pass on to other people to help them. Same things that James is saying. Your faith will be tested. He said, but let patience have its perfect work. This word used twice. That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That word perfect there means to be brought into fullness, completion, wholeness. God's up to something to make us more like Jesus. And notice what it says, but let patience have its perfect work. When we are being patient, God is working. Patience is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. You and I cannot manufacture it, this kind of patience. It has to be supernaturally given us as a gracing from Holy Spirit. And how does it come? Well, like a lot of the promises of God operate, when we believe God, when we're trusting Him. Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I trust You. This doesn't make sense, but I trust You. I trust You. I trust You. I'm going to be on Your side of this, Lord. Everything in me is wanting me to be frustrated, wanting me to be bitter, even angry at You. But I'm going to be on Your side on this. I trust You. You know what? He is trustworthy. He is trustworthy. And the perfect work of patience, it's not a one-off thing. Well, I had me a trial. Now I'm perfect and patient. That'd be nice. That won't happen until He comes back, when that which is perfect is come. So, it's like that picture that I used up there, that beautiful pearl sitting inside that clam, that began as an irritant. A grain of sand inside that clam. But over a long period of time, that clam dealt with that irritant in such a way that it was transformed into a beautiful pearl. In a similar way, we end up with these irritants, these trials, persecutions, and so forth in our life. But if we will, by God's grace, trust God through it all, Holy Spirit will work and really build something beautiful out of that. You would have never ordered it. and you don't want to go through it again. But you wouldn't take anything for what you now have because you endured that storm. So, when we understand God's patience, it should encourage us to be patient with other people. And when we read James's, we realize that God uses life's pressures to produce his patience in us. That's what we learn from that James passage. God uses life's pressures to produce his patience in us. Notice that the fruit of the Spirit is long suffering, which means we need Holy Spirit help to do that. Some of you have powerful testimonies about how this works. You really do. Last thing, as I tie the bow on this message, God's patience does have a deadline. In the book of Genesis that I referenced for you there, chapter 6, verse 3, it says, and the Lord said, and this is in the days of Noah, he said, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever." Simple way of saying, now I'm just not going to put up with this on and on. Because it said during those days, the thoughts of men's mind, their hearts was continuously evil. Full bent, full throttle evil, everything. And there, God said, okay, we're fast approaching the time when enough's enough. And he says this, he said, and the days will be 120 years, days of man's flesh. That 120 years, well, Noah built the ark during that time, but that was also a space of repentance. It was a time for people to get right, to get things straight. 120 years came, boom, the flood hit the earth. Peter's talking about the second cataclysmic judgment of the earth, which will be by fire. And that too will come. God does have a deadline. He had it in the days of Noah. Jesus referenced that in reference to his second coming. In the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham's interceding, trying to, Lord, if I can just find a handful of folks, yes, I'll spare them. But he couldn't find them. And judgment fell on Sodom and Gomorrah. Numbers of times, the whole nation of Israel felt that they had the judgments of God brought upon them because of their idolatry, their iniquity, and their immorality. And God would send in another nation. He sent in the Assyrians, the northern kingdom of Israel, and punished them. That was a judgment of God. They crossed his deadline. In Judah, it came in 586 B.C. by the Babylonians. They crossed God's deadline, and Babylon came in and laid waste to the place and carried Jewish people away as captives into Babylon. And the days that led up to the days of Moses, the Lord said the iniquity of the Amorites, there would come a time when the iniquity of the Amorites would be full and God would bring judgment. Even in Egypt, all the plagues, God was patient. You know, he went through 10 plagues, giving them an opportunity to let his people go, and they wouldn't, but a deadline was crossed. The death of the firstborn came. God does, his patience does have a deadline. Now, our worship team is coming, and I want to share this with you. A number of years ago, this is prior to our moving to Memphis to go to seminary. I was pastoring at the time, but I was still building houses during the week. That was my job, and I was going from a job in Double Springs, Alabama, to Addison, Alabama. I'd crossed, I think it's the Sipsey River Bridge there, and rounded the curve, and there was a bad car wreck that had just happened. And one of the vehicles, a man had been thrown out, and he was laying in the middle of the road. I got out, I ran up to the scene, and they said they were waiting on the ambulance. They had called, and the man was laying there. He was all busted up. He had blood coming out his nose, his mouth, his ears. He was gasping. And there was a man that had gotten there before I did. And when I came up there, this man was down there. He had his hands on the man. And he was saying, listen, listen, if you're not saved, you can give your life to Jesus Christ right now. You don't have to enter eternity without Christ. He died on the cross for you. Just call on his name. He'll save you right now. And I could tell the man, his eyes were open, and he was, you know, he was trying to listen to this man. There was nothing obvious that didn't look like that could be done without some medical help. And he was just pleading with this man to give his life to Christ in those last moments. Ambulance arrived and they carried him away. We later heard that he didn't make it. But my prayer is that that man, if he wasn't saved, that he prayed. You know what? Because of the mercy of God, God would save him. There was a thief on the cross that was dying on the cross. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus said, you'll be with me in paradise today. That thief looked at Jesus. He called him Lord. He knew that he was going to be alive beyond the grave because he said, when you come in your kingdom, he knew he was going to be a king, knew he would have a kingdom. I believe he recognized that he was his Messiah. And that Jesus saved him. Saved him with his dying breaths. He saved him. That's the patience of God, even up to that last breath. But you don't know when that's going to happen. Don't boast about tomorrow. You don't know what a day may bring forth. My prayer is that everyone under the sound of my voice this morning, you know that you're saved. I want you to stand with me across this room this morning. I'm going to ask our prayer team members to come at this time. We serve a patient God. He's so patient. He's so kind. I believe there are people the Lord's dealing with about your impatience. Maybe you got a short fuse. Maybe you lose it too quickly with people. You forget how much God's forgiven you. You've forgotten how much God puts up with by putting up with you. You forgot how much you got back by with before you came to know the Lord. And we need to be a patient people because it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that love is patient. If we're not being patient, we're not loving well. Sometimes we're waiting on other people to change when what needs to happen. You know, it says the Lord's not, he's wanting people to come to repentance. We can take that by principle and plug it in for believers too. Sometimes the Lord's just being patient. He's wanting you to do some more changing. And you're not seeing it. You're not understanding. You're not realizing it. But he's being patient. But there comes a deadline. There can be correction that begins, chastising that begins. Get right with God is what I'm saying. And if you're lost without Christ, may the day be the day of salvation. You need to call on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved today. Those of you who may have burdens this morning, you're in the middle of the storm, take this, what James taught. God's doing something. Trust him. Trust is not a feeling. It's a commitment of your heart that you're going to cling to God in the middle of the pain, in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the difficulty, in the middle of the brokenness, in the middle of being misunderstood, in the middle of being mistreated. You're still going to trust God. Oh, Father God, across this room, move, breathe on people's hearts. May we respond. May we receive all that you want to release to us this day. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. And I invite you to come right now as we begin to sing. People here will pray with you. Just step out from where you are.
The more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you.
Today can be the day of salvation for you.
I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back again.
Go, would you bow your heads for just a moment And it would be wonderful if every one of us in this room would just thank God for being patient with us right now. Just spend a moment thanking God for being patient with you. Now take a moment and ask Him to work in your life to help you be more patient with others. Of every name, I pray that Holy Spirit would do a great work in each of your hearts, in all of our hearts, that the fruit of the Holy Spirit would be manifesting from our lives for others to see, that our irritations and frustrations could be transformed into treasures for the kingdom. May we grow, Lord, in your love. Help us to represent you well, King Jesus. Now, believers, go forth. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. In the name of Jesus, amen. Can we give the Lord a hand this morning? He's so good. This altar remains open if you need prayer. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon. So good to see you today. Now, if there's an area of your life that needs to be changed, the Holy Spirit will at times convict you. You'll know it's Him because you'll be drawn to the Lord. When the enemy's working, you'll feel separated and pushed away, like you won't want to draw near. But when Holy Spirit's working, He's drawing you near to the Lord. Kind of like those little bumps on the side of the road. When you start getting off the road, they start vibrating your car. That's like the Holy Spirit convicting. He's letting you know you need to move back between the lines so that you can get where you're supposed to go. That's the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's doing that in your life. You come right now if you need prayer. Just step out from where you are. Just come on up. Our prayer team will pray. We're going to sing a moment. I'll release you in just a moment to go. But let's give.